Welcome to the Sedona Method Class 5. How's everyone doing?
All right.
Did I mention I have a mic?
We're going to hopefully address that at the end of class.
Oh,
this is great. No, it was in the plans.
Oh, yeah. To talk about migraines?
About headaches, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, migraines are headaches, right?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are all sovereign beings. What does that mean? Anybody know what that means?
Sovereign.
Oh, sovereign.
Sovereign.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Total decision making about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And what we feel and what we think and all that.
Right.
Should be like that.
Right, yeah. So we have the ability to choose whatever we want to experience. Which doesn't seem like that's the case a lot of the time, right? So, but apparently we are as sovereign and free and divine as any celestial being, because we're made of the same thing. So there's really no difference between us and what you might call an angel or something like that. So the number one wound we have as humans is feeling inadequate. I'm just gonna say that as maybe a fact, but also an opinion. And we are being marketed to all the time, and have been since we were born, that we're not good enough unless we do certain things, unless we have certain material possessions, or
look certain way,
or have accomplished certain things in our lives according to the status quo, the consensus ideals. And as you all know, this is malarkey. So, do you know that word?
Bullshit.
Malarkey is like bullshit.
Bullshit. Let's call it bullshit.
Let's just call it bullshit, okay.
Yeah.
I like the word malarkey though. It's a really good word.
Is that American?
Yeah, I guess so. But it sounds kind of, I don't know, Scottish or...
No, I think it's
Scottish
or
Irish.
It's very common to me. Like, you hear it all the
malarkey.
Time.
Malarkey.
Sounds like malarkey. Can you say it? Like,
malarkey.
Yeah, there. It sounds very Scottish, yeah.
Well, but if you talk...
I worked in Scotland for a long time. I don't remember ever listening to that.
So we are rejecting ourselves all the time, and we're doing it unconsciously mostly. And so this is possibly our biggest hang-up as humans. And so if you're doing this and you're aware of it, don't think that you're alone somehow or special, that you have a special wound. We all have that wound. We have the wound of original sin that's been beaten into us over and over and over again, probably for lifetimes. So today we're going to address that directly. So just relax. Oh, let's do some breathing first.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do the 6-3-6 breath that we've been doing just for a few minutes. Six counts in, three counts hold, and six counts out. Okay, wrap it up. And relax. Relax your head. Your eyes, let go of any tension in the face, cheeks, jaw, mouth. Let go of any tension in the top of the head. Forehead, sides of your head, and back of your head. And let go of any tension in your neck, back of the neck, and front of the neck. Release tension in the shoulders. And upper back. And release any tension in the lower back. And upper arms, elbows, lower arms, wrists, hands and fingers. Release any tension in the chest, upper abdomen and solar plexus. Lower abdomen. Pelvis. Upper legs. Release any tension in your knees. Lower legs. Ankles. And feet. And toes. And release your whole upper body. All at once, and your lower body all at once. And then your whole body all at once. And pay attention to your breath in the belly. Just the movement of your abdomen. Now in this moment, could you just simply let yourself be what you are? And be what you are. And be what you are. And be, and be, and be. This is enough, just to do this, just to be this. And when you be this enough, the whole world opens up to you. This stillness which lies just beyond. Begins to shine through . And now in this moment, could you just simply welcome any part of your body-mind that you're rejecting? or saying no to is something that you're not allowing to be the way it is. Could you just allow it to be there? Just whatever's come to mind, just welcome that. And then as well, as best you can you also welcome up any wanting to do anything about it, to change it or try to control it or to push it away or hold it close? Could you welcome that sense of wanting to change or control it? Just welcome that up as well. And could you also welcome up any sense that that is personal, that it's about you? Just welcome that up and let that also be there. And just doing that will release a lot of it. But we're going to keep going with it. So could you, just for now, simply let go of rejecting yourself? Could you just be yourself and accept yourself as best you can? And let's try it again. So bring up any part of yourself that you're rejecting right now. Just welcome it up. Whatever comes to mind, just welcome that up. And could you also welcome up any wanting to change it or to control it, or to push it away, or to hold it close, or to try to understand it? Could you also welcome that up, that desire to want to do something about it, with or about it? And can you also welcome up any sense that that is about you, that it's personal to you? Just let that be there. And then, as best you can you simply let go of rejecting that part of you? Can you let go of rejecting yourself? And just accept yourself even a little more. And a little bit more. And just a tiny bit of this goes a long way. Just a very small amount of letting go of this self rejection. Will have a very big effect. And can you just love yourself and accept yourself and be with yourself as best you can? And can you just open up to that acceptance? As best you can. And now, again, can you welcome up any part of yourself, of your body, mind? That you're rejecting right now. That you're pushing away, just even on a very subtle level. Can you just let it be there? And can you also welcome up any sense of wanting to do something with or about that? And let that be there. And can you also welcome up any sense that that is personal, that that is about you? And in this, just for now, in this moment, can you simply let go of rejecting yourself? Just a little tiny bit. And could you let go a little bit more? And a little bit more. And a little bit more. And could you just for now, open up to that loving acceptance of yourself? That freedom. And can you begin to treat yourself with love and compassion? Can you be kind to yourself in this moment? And can you simply allow yourself just to be what you are? Okay. Any questions or comments?
So we're not really using this to release emotions. We can use it to release whatever.
So it's the question, self-rejection. Is the question about self-rejection not being an emotion?
No. I don't know how I come up with that.
Can you repeat the question?
It's not well formulated anymore. It's good to see that it can be applied to... I feel that there's a difference now.
What's the difference?
I don't know, the last time we were looking for an emotion that we've been feeling and stuff, and now it feels like we went to something more specific. So is it possible to use this for, I was thinking the other day, for things that happened a long time ago, and that you still have strong feelings about it, and it's possible, or do we have to really look for the specific emotion that you have at this point?
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
There are different ways to approach it, obviously, you can look for, a specific emotion if you feel compelled to do that. But you can also work in other ways, in more broader ways, the three questions that we did last time. That's a more broad approach, like whatever comes up, is it about wanting control or to be safe to be accepted, right? So there are different ways to approach it, and this is just one. And sometimes we just are just really down on ourselves. So if you're just really down on yourself, you can use this way.
Rejection towards myself, it is an action.
Okay.
It's not, I don't see it as an emotion. I mean, it brings emotion.
It's a resistance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what's an emotion?
Yes, I don't know.
It's a resistance, isn't it? It's born of resistance, right? So maybe self-rejection is not an emotion per se. But you could classify it as an emotion if you wanted to. Like, do you feel an emotion when you think about you're rejecting yourself in some way? Does an emotion come up?
Then it comes up. Yes,
right.
It comes up, but it comes in.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be.
It comes different emotions.
Right.
With the rejection.
Right.
Feeling.
Right.
So it's rejection and feeling. Then I don't know what is it. Would you say it's a really an emotion? Or?
It's a desire to push something away, just like desire to have control, or a desire to be safe. You know, it's another desire. Yeah. We usually call it aversion, which is really also a desire. It's a desire to push something away instead of a desire to hold something in.
Yeah.
So it's a desire to push yourself to something you don't like about yourself. You're pushing it away and you're covering it up. And when you do that, it takes a lot of energy to keep it down in the subconscious because you're trying to hide it.
Uh-huh.
It's the same as with the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we let this up, just like an emotion, which is still the function of an emotion is basically the same. It's you're rejecting something, right? Mm-hmm. It's resistance to something.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's how to talk about it in a different way that might apply to some person more than someone else, or someone at a certain point in their life versus another point in their life. So,
can I ask another question?
Sure, yeah.
So if you go back to the past and you want to more or less, you want to bring these events, is it okay to bring it even if you're not, and to release it in using this method, even if you're not really feeling the emotion? Because in the end, maybe sometimes you don't even know in what way is it being expressed emotionally.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Does it still make sense to use this and go,
yes,
and bring the event in itself?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely, yeah. And I've done it with that.
Mm-hmm.
There are different ways to release on an event, but you could go into an event and pull up any self-rejection that is there and release on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of childhood trauma consists of this self-rejection where you think it's your fault. Something is your fault, right? I had this as a kid. My dad had a temper. He had a very big temper. It was like boom, and it was like, you know, all hell is like, everything's on fire, and you just want to leave the house. And so I always thought it was my fault, you know? I didn't realize that it wasn't my fault, and so I was carrying that around with me for a long time.
I just realize now that I feel guilty about it. Just realized it now, just a few seconds ago.
Right, okay. So it's not your fault, mm-hmm. Right? It's not your fault.
Yeah.
None of it is our fault. Mm-hmm. Actually, none of it is our fault. We always have done the best we could in every moment. We were just doing the best we could. So therefore, guilt is worthless. There's no one at fault for anything, ever. However, we are responsible for our emotions. We're responsible for feeling that guilt and carrying that guilt around with us. And we're also responsible for knowing that it's there and being able to let it go. We have the power to let it go and the responsibility if we want to improve our lives. We have that responsibility to us and also to everyone else. We have that responsibility too, I believe. So I have worked with people before going into childhood trauma and just one-on-one and just going through this event, this memory, and helping them realize that it actually wasn't about them. That whatever their parents were saying wasn't about them, it was about their parents. Mm-hmm. And then that just released a whole bunch of self-rejection and guilt and shame and all this stuff that comes up with that. So you can do that on your own, or you can do that with someone else one-on-one. But I think it is has miraculous sort of effect too when you do that. So I also think, you know, you can just sit at home and go through these events and in your mind and play it. Just play the event, and if you are really concentrating on it, on just visualizing it, you can see that it wasn't about you, that whatever they said to you wasn't really about you, it was about them. And yeah, you can see all of this, and then you can replay that event, knowing that it's not about you, that it was about them and their shame, and them trying to put their shame onto you and put their problems onto you because they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't, no one taught them how to handle their emotions. So they just threw that all onto you and expected you to be able to handle it. And but obviously it affects our whole life to have some major, even some minor event that is, that someone just handed you their shame, you know? And it could be a very small moment that you went through, and then, you know, 30 or 40 years later, you realize like, oh, wow, like I've been afraid to live my life. I've been afraid to be who I am because I've been walking around with this shame that someone gave me and I didn't even know it. So, you know? Yeah. Good questions. Anything else?
I did my drifting off thing. Unfortunately, I could have really done with being very present, following you, but I was
all over. That's all right.
Yeah. Can you make us a little audio on this?
I can take out this.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was far away also, but not all over the place.
Okay.
That's all right. When I was a kid, for many, many, many years into being a teenager, I had this recurrent dream that's very conceptual.
Oh, okay.
You know, this black and white world that has a hum, and the only thing you can see is like a... until, you know, forever surface. That's like when you stretch the bed sheets, has some kind of little things, like somewhere it's been stretched, but you can't see it. There's that on the surface. And then there's this humongous sphere that is moving towards you, although I'm not there. I'm not sure, you know. So this happens, you know, in times every night, you know, for a long time. And it's been a few years since, you know, quite a few years since I've had it, but I remember the feelings to it very clearly. And when a few months ago, when I started to meditate, I had this feeling, I was there in that place again. And I was there now, you know. I was in the middle of the sphere, I don't know, but I was bigger than this house. I was huge.
Okay.
Inside of the sphere, and I couldn't move.
And you couldn't move?
No, mm-hmm. I was inside of the, in the mm-hmm.
That
you
sounds
know.
Like a panic attack.
You think?
Mm-hmm. We were talking about
I know.
But in a dream, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Curious.
Interesting.
Because we were talking about these things today, and and I said I've never had a panic attack.
Hmm.
I mean, how do you think it looks? It feels like a panic attack.
And everything, like the
paralyzed,
the feeling, the dimensional changes, like or you're too big or you're too small.
No, but in the dream I wasn't there. Well, I was kind of. the sphere was kind of rolling towards me, but I could never see myself. Mm. And it's all this black and white with a kind of a hum feeling. It was a bit oppressive. But
maybe I didn't hear what we'll talk about.
So one thing I'll say to that is, I also used to have black and white conceptual scary dreams as a kid. Thankfully they went away eventually. But what I would say is that in my personal experience, and also what I've been taught by my teachers, is if you have a nightmare or a daymare, just forget about it.
Well, that's what I do.
Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, you could go and try to understand, like, what it means to you, and
I don't know
go
what
into
it. Means.
It.
I have no clue what
okay.
it means.
Yeah.
You know, it was just something that was very present because it happened.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, and I think that probably the more you meditate, the more stuff like that will come up. And what they normally say is, just let it come up and don't worry about it and just stay present. That's the teaching that I learned, mm-hmm. and that works for me also. What I noticed is there's a tendency to want to latch on to these experiences we have in meditation and in dreams. And in my experience, that's not really helpful. Even if it's a really good experience, because they're all just memories of an experience, just like any other memory of any experience had in the physical so-called 3D world, right? It's just another memory of an event that's happening right now and only exists as a memory, yeah. Right? So, in that sense, it's a way to latch on to grasp a part of your past which doesn't really exist anymore. You know what I mean? So, we can go into things and release them. And we can go into things and dwell on them. And the first one, I think, is very helpful, and the second one, I think, is maybe not so helpful, at least in my experience. So, because it really is the practice, this practice, and also what I've talked about before, is really just about experiencing the self and getting into that peace and bliss and harmony and staying there as much as you can. And then the more you stay in it, the easier everything gets. And then it's just, then what's happening around you and also in the mind isn't so important anymore. It doesn't really affect you so much anymore.
In the case of Inesh's dream, though, the strong feeling was present, so then she could have gone through
absolutely.
The releasing
absolutely, yeah.
The emotion.
You're right. Absolutely, yeah.
Now, you mean?
You
could
go
through. Because it started to go away, I, you know, I could hear you, but when you talked about love and acceptance, that's when it started to go away. Mm. So.
Yeah. That's another good point, too, is that.
Although I was thinking about it quite a lot, because I was, you know, I was listening to you, and I was like, but I accept myself.
I was saying, you know, yeah. I don't reject bits of myself. I have quite a lot in the past, but I don't think I do. You know, all of these thoughts were coming,
yeah.
and then the sphere feeling started, and then it went away when, yeah. And I realized
okay.
that it started to go away
right.
at that moment.
Right. So it was a fear thing?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Sphere, I said.
Oh, sphere.
The sphere
oh, okay.
feeling
I
went
see.
Away
right.
when you spoke about love and affection
I see.
And acceptance.
Okay. Yeah, right. So
I would keep that dream and look at it. Really well, from top to bottom and sides to sides.
But what else? That's all there is to it, actually. You know, this oppressive feeling,
oppressive.
You know, and the hum, you know, the hum was, you know, that was a big part of it, like...
And there's probably more things to look into. If you actually start remembering,
sounds like it's fear based.
Sounds like
fear
based, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where discernment comes in. Do you want to experience this? Do you want to not experience this?
Yes.
That's discernment, and you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, love is the panacea. You know, it's the way to get rid of any demon is to love it. And demons appear to exist. They seem real. You know, if you go into the astral realm in a dream or otherwise, you can see real demons. Like they're as real as like we are here right now, right? And you can just love them and they'll go away. It's very, very simple. So
are you going to go into that? Like, I can see the connection between what you've just said and, like, if you're really experiencing a lot of pain, and if you, like, really go into the pain, I mean, I've been trying to do this with my headaches, you know, like, just really, just, like, let myself go into the pain, like,
yeah.
so much, and then somehow
yeah.
it diffuses.
Absolutely,
it,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because a lot of the pain, maybe all of the pain, is you rejecting it.
Yeah.
You're trying to push it away.
Mm.
Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But that reminds me, by the way. So there's a mudra for headaches. Did you know that?
Mm.
It's a mudra for headaches. It's called the Mahashirsha. It means the big head. It's also if you wanna enlarge your ego. It's really good for that too. No, I'm just kidding.
We all want that.
Yeah.
So how it goes is, it's like take your ring finger and put it at the base of your thumb, and then hold these together.
Ring finger.
Yeah, like this. Hold the first two together with your thumb and let your pinky go out.
That's really hard to do. My pinky doesn't want to extend.
This is supposed to cure your headache, or at least make it less.
What do you do with this?
Because you're focusing so much on your hands.
Right, or the pain in your hands, yeah. Because the pain transfers from your head down to your hands, therefore it just goes away.
Yeah.
So I actually tried this and it didn't work for me, but maybe it will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's also there's another one where you put the pinky down, and that's another mudra. It's called the Kubera mudra, and this is for retaining your energy. So this is for like it's like a yin retention pose, which I think is kind of, for me, it's kind of blissful. So it's the Mahashirsha, but then you put the pinky in like that. So maybe that will cure your headache. But I really like this one a lot. It's like very.
This one feels really good.
Very like yin comforting.
Mm. Yeah, this one is comforting.
So, I also want to do some self-inquiry because releasing goes really well with self-inquiry. And this term, self-inquiry, is a broad term describing a lot of ways to examine what you are. And we did this before a little bit in the first series. So I wanted to add that to our releasing as well. So let's just do one real quick because we have a couple of minutes left. So just relax and let yourself go. And just ask this question, but don't ask it with your mind. Ask it with your whole being. And the question is, who am I? So it's, who am I is not a thought. It's not a thinking question. It's an existential question. So if you catch yourself thinking, then just drop it. Because you're not trying to figure anything out. It's who am I at the core of your being. And just see what happens after you ask this question. Just sit with it. Experience it. What is the experience of who am I? What is this I? And now go to the base of this I. Go to where the I comes from. Just let yourself relax. Let go of the mind. And ask, from whence does this I come? From where does it come? And don't try to figure anything out, just let yourself be. Just relax and let yourself be and be and be. And if any thoughts come up, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just let them come up and go back to who am I? Okay, and notice what your mind is doing. Notice what happened before and after that. And it's really, really important to remember that it's not about figuring anything out. And you're not doing it with your mind. It's not about thinking at all. Mm-hmm. It's completely experiential. So you might be wondering, well, how can I can't really get into it. How can I really get into it? And if you just keep doing it, it will get easier and easier. And in my experience, this is the most direct way to access the self. And perhaps you can knock 10 or 20 or 30 years off of your meditation practice by doing this practice, this one simple practice.
You mean, who am I? Like to inquire that?
I mean, are you so kind of like, why not? Sort of saying it to yourself, or what?
Well, you said try to describe, ask with your body, so don't ask, just
So
sit with it.
Can you try and explain to us what's...
That's what I used to
do. I will next time.
Okay, yeah, that's another story then, yeah. Okay.
So, I think it's difficult at first to get into, but as you get into it more and more, it's like instant. You're just there. And suddenly the mind is calmed down, very still. And so it just takes a little bit of practice, but it's a lot faster than trying to watch your breath or doing these body focused meditations. And we talked about this before, but I just want to go into it more deeply, because now you have your feet wet, so to speak, as meditators. You're all meditators. So this is a more higher or deeper level of experience in terms of meditation and in terms of accessing the self. So yeah, but I think you're all there, so you can do it. I'm very confident that you can do it. So
I had a really cool experience the other day. I had a really cool experience the other day asking that.
Yeah?
But it was not a random, it was not that this is random, but it was not a technique question. It was, I really wanted to understand, because I was really having existential, existential
angst,
angst around the question, who the hell am I? Because, but not because I never asked that before, because I do, okay, in a philosophical way. It was really a very practical way, like I was really, because I came to the conclusion that every, never mind,
what?
It's a lot.
Oh no, come on.
I don't know. I was trying to understand who am I before trauma. I got
before trauma?
With, I got obsessed with that perspective.
Okay, alright.
So I really, because it came to me that, oh, well, wait, it wasn't always like that, so it had to be, you know, this, it's when it started, it's, because I realized that what I am now, it's a mishmash of many things, but including that experience, and I was looking at it as a shadow, basically, and I just decided, so who am I without this shadow? First, I started with, who would I be without this shadow? I just started surfing around that, which was interesting. But then, who am I? In the end, I was really asking, and I really shut myself down on this question for some time in my room. And I was really with this intention, and I came out of the room feeling so cool, so good.
Yeah, great.
Like, because I really felt it was not in the mind, it was not an explanation, it was not a logical sequence of, it was really a feeling that, and this obvious clarity that, of course, you know, like I am so many beautiful things. I am love, I am compassion, I am creativity, and, you know, so, and I just started saying those words out loud. And it was so good. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Like, really, I came out of that, like, oof, okay, this one is done. That question.
Fantastic.
And it was, and I'm still going around this experience, but it was really beautiful.
Yeah, great.
And
great.
Timing, but really concentrate.
Yeah, great. So,
yeah, I would like to continue doing it.
Okay, great. Very good. Good to know. So, in terms of a technique or method, the teachers that have taught self-inquiry have adamantly said that it's not a technique or a method. Mm-hmm. It's just self-inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no method to, it's just inquiring what you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say that there's a method to it, but Ramana Maharshi would say no, or Papaji would say no, it's not a method. It's just so simple that it can't be described as a method. That's how simple it is. But we want to make something out of it, because the mind wants to make it complex. But it's not. It's the simplest thing that you could possibly do or be. It's the simplest, it's so simple that we can't even grasp it. That's how it's so close to us.
Mm.
It's that we can't see it. So it's looking at what is it that is so close to us that we can't see it. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into it some more.
Yeah.
Next time.
Okay. Tomorrow? Here, same time?
Yeah, I wish I could do this every day.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.